Welcome to Values, Virtues, Ethics and Morality. This program is an invitation to join myself, Magla Pillay, and Sister Denise, who has been a Raja Yoga teacher with the Brahma Kumaris for several decades. The format of the show is Socratic Dialogue. This is a philosophical method of systematic doubt and questioning to elicit a clear expression of a truth deemed to be knowable by all rational beings. We will take up a wide variety of subjects related to moral and ethical values. We will question the conventional views on these matters. We will analyze and dialogue the topics to gain greater insight and perhaps even uncover new foundations for formulating our values systems. Everyone is concerned about doing the right thing. Paradoxically, it has been found that people often act against their own conscience. We will investigate why this is so. Sister Denise, I bid you very, very warm welcome to today's show.
Thank you.
The subject that I thought we'd take up today is one of implications of spirituality. Yes, on a previous occasion, you discussed the laws of spirituality, and now we're looking at how spirituality impacts on one's life. Would you like to tell us more about it?
Spirituality means that you have to rethink who you think you are. Because spirituality tells you that you're not a body, you're a spiritual being who dwells inside a body, who expresses yourself through a body in the material world, and that changes the game. So the implications are that you can no longer identify as the way people look at you. You can no longer think of yourself as the gender of body that you're in. You have to think of yourself as something much more subtle, much deeper. You are pure consciousness. You are a being of light. You are eternal. You are connected with the Supreme Being, with the Divine. You have potential that you never realized. And as you start thinking of this, you also start to feel it, you start to study it, and you start to see things about yourself that you never saw before. You also start to see things about others that you had never considered. And the implications are that you have to act differently.
What is the external impact of what you just said?
You question the way that you have been expressing yourself. You question the way that you react to various circumstances and situations. You look at the reason for living differently. You look at the world differently. You look at challenges differently and difficulties differently. And it goes very deep. You even look at your family differently.
Okay. Denise, does this mean that you started off by saying that one is not what one thinks one is? Does that mean everyone on the planet has got it wrong?
Everyone on the planet thinks of themselves as a boy or a girl, a male or a female. Then you also identify with your skin color. You identify with your culture, your nationality. When you're an adult, you may enter one or another of the professions. You identify with that. You say, I am a doctor, I am a mother. And some people say, oh, well, I'm only a housewife. Which is a very interesting expression when you say only, because the problem for a housewife in a world where money is important is your work is not rewarded financially, and therefore you put the word only to refer to the fact that you do work which is very important and valuable, but it's not considered valuable because there's no price tag connected with it. So you use the word only, which is to diminish your worth in your own eyes. So when you start to think of yourself in terms of spirituality, you think, well, I'm an actor, first and foremost. I'm a soul, a spiritual being, I'm an actor, and I'm playing a role. So that housewife without financial remuneration, scientist with plenty of financial remuneration, they come a lot closer than the vast difference that is made by the attitude that looks at a person in terms of how much money they can earn, you see. So then the person in a very wealthy position has to come down from what we can call the arrogance of wealth, and the person who doesn't have physical wealth will start to be aware of other attributes that have value but not monetary value. They will rise up. So what happens is the implications of spirituality is it makes it a much more level playing field, which I think is more realistic as well as more equitable.
As you're speaking, I'm thinking of a scenario where somebody embraces what you just said. So you said that man is not the physical body that he is in, is not the various relationships that he's chosen to play in this lifetime, and he's not the profession. We usually use the word I am in front of all of those definitions. Yet, he is playing all of those roles. How does the impact of spirituality and understanding that he is the Atma, the soul, affect, and what impact does it have on the decisions that he has made and the lifestyle that he has chosen?
Being aware of the self as a soul means being aware of the five elemental qualities of the soul, which are purity, peace, power, love, and bliss. So that is your wealth. You know, I am a pure, peaceful, powerful, loveful being of light. That is my identity, and then I perform according to the circumstances, or I perform the role of some profession, or I find myself in a very serious situation, I then have to respond to that situation according to my attributes, not according to the situation so much, you see. So it shifts things really quite substantially.
Yes, because the person won't be the same inside or outside, would he? There would be a huge difference between the way we normally function and what you've just said.
So you remind yourself again and again in spirituality that this is what I am, which means that if you're getting a message from the outside world that is lower than that or totally off the mark, you're nevertheless asserting, regardless of what's being told to you, you're asserting, you know, in fact, I am a pure, peaceful, powerful, blissful, loveful being of light, and that's that, you see. It's very powerful because you establish the atmosphere and vibration in which the activity takes place.
Mm. I can feel what you're saying.
You call the shots. Yes. Not a victim.
Not a victim. Okay. Now, so at least as we know, in an imperfect world, people have engaged in behaviors that they know they shouldn't be. For example, somebody's watching this program, they're inspired to embrace what you just said because it sounds so beautiful and so universally applicable, and yet they're in a profession where it's normal practice to be dishonest. Otherwise, you don't eat for the month. It's as simple as that. And so now this person is facing a conflict because he wants to embrace spirituality, and yet the person that he has become hits against that. What would be your advice to him? It's because spirituality is not just about what you just said. It has far-reaching implications in everything that he does and says. So how does he clean up on the outside?
I think he needs to come face to face with the consequences of his previous actions, which he will not do just by saying to himself, I think I'll be spiritual from now on. What has to happen is he has to really be hit by a severe negative consequence of his action. So, for example, if he is being dishonest, he has to be caught. He has to be faced with that and maybe experience some punishment for that, so that he really has to think about it, because he will be publicly disgraced. And that is necessary for him to think, okay, now who am I going to be? How am I going to be? You see, because if he just goes back to what it was before, he can't really, because it's too late. He's been exposed. So sometimes the spiritual shift in a person's life will come after such an event. Because you see, as long as a person's getting away with it, they think that it's okay. It's when a person stops getting away with it that they lose face. And in some cultures, losing face means you have to commit suicide. But not in all cultures. In, say, a more Western culture, losing face means you have to clean up your act. You have to apologize for what you've been doing, show that you are going along a better track, and prove it on a continuous basis, which I think is quite healthy.
Yes, okay, that makes a lot of sense. So, there will be a... some sort of internal battle that somebody will be facing when they practice what you just said, because it's a very beautiful sentiment to know, I am purity, I am peace, I am love. But at the time that you are saying all of these things to yourself, or attempting to practice them, you're feeling unloved, you're feeling deeply angry, you are feeling fearful, which is the normal state of mind for a lot of people on the planet. What do you do with those feelings? What do you do with aspects of your personality that aren't spiritual at all?
I think that when you're unable to sleep at night because of being your mind being occupied by these uncomfortable feelings, you have to really take a look at your standards. And I think of it sometimes as a dial from okay to not okay, and you have a needle. Your needle will be somewhere, and from this side of the needle everything is not okay, the other side it's okay. But as you progress spiritually, you're going to shift, and things that are okay, all of a sudden they're not okay. Your needle shifts. And you can't just go from one thing to the opposite just in a day. It doesn't work like that. You have to start being sensitive, feeling, making incremental shifts. And sometimes you will make a decision that I'm going to be clean, I'm going to be good, etc., etc., and you can't maintain it. You go back. Then you realize that you're weak. I think it's very important for a person to shift the idea from I do this action because I'm bad to I do this action because I'm not strong enough to not do it. Because to be weak is not the same as to be bad. Conventional morality says if you do this action, it means you are a bad person. Spirituality, a spiritually based ethic, will say you're doing this action because you're weak. What you need to do is strengthen yourself. And for that you need to meditate, you need to really think about what you're doing, and start to actually make changes in your life incrementally. That is how you can rehabilitate yourself. The other way, all you can do is feel miserable and get worse.
Okay. So, I like the word rehabilitation that you just used in that context. Would you say more about it? Because it's not the world's definition of rehabilitation, but it's a spiritual rehabilitation.
How would you explain
it?
In a soul, these five things that I mentioned, purity, peace, power, love, and bliss, well, a weak soul is one whose quantity of these five things is practically zero. And when there is almost nothing left, the empty space left by that is the opposite. So instead of love, there would be hate, you know, instead of purity, there would be corruption, instead of power, there would be weakness, you know. You would be operating on the basis of greed, of desire, of trying to cover up, being very arrogant, all this type of thing. And these are indicators, not that you're bad, they're indicators that you're running on empty. So what you have to do is start filling. And so you have to go to the source, which is the Supreme Being, and start to really take stock of yourself and face yourself. And that takes, you know, courage, because it makes you feel bad to realize what you have become. And the moral attitudes of the society is very condemning of a person who makes this kind of realization, whereas a spiritual angle would be very merciful and kind and encouraging and say, no, you can do it, you're fundamentally a good person, you're okay. So the spiritual ethic would be to say to the person, you're okay, you're a good person, you did bad actions, but you are a good person. Now take some strength, now you can do it, you can shift, we're with you, we're behind you. You see, it's a very, very different approach than just the punishing, damning, demeaning attitude that conventional ethics has. The way people treat those who they consider bad is deplorable, and yet the ethic says that it's good to treat so-called bad people almost worse than what they have done, you see. So it seems that we've reached a point where things are really totally upside down. And when it gets extreme like that, it's a very good moment for resetting the convention. And if we can take this opportunity to reset it on the basis of a spiritual foundation, then we have a possibility of creating a society which is very self-responsible and self-caring.
Yes, so Sister Denise, as you were speaking, what comes to mind is that one cannot embrace spirituality and practice these original virtues that you mentioned without including God as part and part of that practice. Now, one wakes up in the morning, you attend to yourself, and then you'd want to be with God, but because of the habit of not living inside your head but being outside of yourself and attending to everything that you want to do, God is not easy to hold on to.
I think it's very important to bear in mind that the idea of God, the huge variations, and there are some people who don't like the idea of God because of the way God has been defined or described. It doesn't correspond to their sense of the divine. So sometimes we need to really move away from even the word God.
Okay.
But what I would say is that there is a supreme being, a supreme power, which is the holding place of this rich, pure, powerful energy that people need to tap into. And we will call this God. Some people may call it something different. It's not the same as is thought of by the word God by some of the spiritual traditions, and so we'll need to really define this as a non-terrestrial, non-human source, which is also the one who knows every human soul, and the one who can and wishes to fill every human soul with all of those treasures that are missing, which has caused the soul to perform actions which are against your own best interests.
This obviously takes a lot of time and determination, I would think, on one's part. Because including God, as you just described him, her, in one's life, does not sound remotely ordinary.
Well,
the reason I'm saying this, Denise, is there are many people in the world who consider themselves spiritual, but who do not take it from the perspective that you just described. What would you say the essence of, as far as the implications of spirituality is concerned, the essence of one's spiritual practice should be?
I think when you realize that you're an eternal being and that you will live with yourself forever, the most important thing is to be right with yourself, because there is no point in time where you cease to exist or when you began to exist. And so it's a very, very powerful realization to know that I will be with myself forever. And if I can be right with myself, that means I'll be right with everybody else. I'll be right with the Supreme Being. I'll be clear. I'll be in my power. And you have to start thinking about yourself and being with yourself. And when you move away from the drama of human interaction into a state of awareness or a state of being where you are beyond the day-to-day world, there you are facing truth, you're facing God, you're facing the one who knows exactly all about you. And that's a very different frame of mind to be in. But in meditation, you go there, you see, again and again and again. And actually going there makes you have a different relationship with yourself and everybody else, because you're no longer superficial.
Mm.
You're no longer able to trivialize these things. So that changes the game.
Sister Denise, there are people who believe that if you lead a spiritual life, you cannot lead any other type of life. And by that, I mean cannot work, etc., just be holy. Okay? What is the difference between being holy and being spiritual? And can you lead a normal life? I'm not sure what that word even means. Can one engage with society as you normally do before you start leading a spiritual life and still continue with your spiritual journey, or does somebody have to, well, look like you?
I believe that anywhere you are a spiritual being, whether you believe it or not, or whether you're in contact with it or not, you are. And I think that it's a matter of consciousness rather than a matter of being something as opposed to being something else. You see, everybody has to sleep at night, wake up in the morning, take a shower, have some food. You know, you're in relationship with people, and as a human being, it's very important to have a feeling of achievement, a feeling of accomplishment. And so you want to do something which is meaningful. Spirituality is simply making the foundation of your life based in the principles of spirituality as opposed to the principles of materialism. Spiritual life means that you see people as spiritual beings, not as physical objects. And so it affects how you treat yourself, how you treat other people. It makes a difference in terms of your priorities, you see. So you're bringing different aspects of spiritual wisdom into a regular life. Like that.
I see. I think that that's all we have time for today, so I'm going to unfortunately bring this wonderful discussion to an end. Sister Denise has shared with us the implications of spirituality, how one is able to live the life that you are currently leading and yet focus on one's core virtues of purity, peace, power, love and bliss. And also, Sister Denise has shared how we can include God in our daily lives and still lead a relatively normal life. She did mention that it's not without its challenges and resistance, but if one is determined, one can fulfill that responsibility you have to yourself. And the best part, Sister Denise, that I took from your talk today is that it's not just an option, it's actually become a necessity. Thank you so much for your time and your words of wisdom. And to those of you at home, thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.